The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us on the Breakfast Huddle. Well, quite a busy day for markets as they digest the moves and the news around central bank decisions today. Kicking things off this morning was the US Fed Reserve with its rate cut of 25 basis points. Fed Chief Jerome Powell says this will help keep the US economy strong in the face of some notable developments and also give it some insurance against ongoing risks. But its forward guidance was a bit disappointing for the market. They were expecting a bit more of a dovish signal. Well, let's get a bigger picture from Sunny Hamid. He is the Director of Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Morning, Sunny. How are you doing?
Morning, Ryan. I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, Sunny, thanks for staying up to keep track of what happened overnight on the FOMC. So we have a back-to-back rate cut, 25 basis points as expected, but the market was a bit more focused on what it will do next. And that's where it seemed to fall short of market expectations. So help us to walk through first how the markets are reacting right now and your view on the gap between what the Fed is saying and what the market is expecting.
Yes, you mentioned earlier when the rate cut was announced, the market actually fell, but towards the close, just managed to climb back into the green. I think that's quite reminiscent of what's the situation is now, meaning to say that really there's a lot of confusion in the market. There's really two camps. The Federal Reserve is looking at data on a month-to-month basis, on a release-to-release basis, on the back of what they consider to be a relatively strong U.S. economy at present. Well, the bulk of the market, which is more forward-looking, is saying to itself that, look, with what's going on in the global economy, the gradual, slowly creeping signs of a slowdown in the U.S., the Fed will eventually have to continue to cut rates as we go along. So this dichotomy between the two views at this particular point, but I think I would infer more to the latter, meaning to say that eventually I think the U.S. economy will be impacted. Maybe it's taking a little bit more time than one would expect. But again, there's no way it's going to insulate itself from what's happening in the global economy.
Hey, Sunny, I think what's also interesting is that within the FOMC, there's a bit of divided opinion on what to do next. So we actually have the most number of dissenters in 5 years over a rate decision. So we've got on one camp, two of them saying no changes needed. Then another camp saying we need a stronger rate cut. What are the factors and considerations that are creating so much uncertainty? I'm looking at the latest data out this week that says U.S. manufacturing production rebounded strongly in August. Is this a sign that, you know, the U.S. economy is right now okay, not in serious trouble?
Well, it's a good point. Meaning to say that month-to-month data sometimes can be quite volatile. So you got data at the ISM going into a contraction. You've mentioned the manufacturing rebounding. So basically, if you look at the monthly data, it would be actually quite confusing. But if you take a step back and look at the trend or the rate of growth, then there are signs of a slowdown in the U.S. But at the same time, I think some Fed members don't want to be too aggressive, because again, too aggressive a rate cut would then play into the hands of inflating asset prices even more. You know, the S&P or the Wall Street is at record highs. If you really cut rates aggressively, you will see the stock market moving aggressively higher, which I don't think they want to create a bubble. At the same time, you've got members who say, you know, let's not cut at this point. Maybe, and I'm just speculating here, we don't want to play into the hands of the Washington, whereby, you know, President Trump is asking us to cut. We don't want to be seen to be following his view. So there really is, it's not an easy time for the Fed, so to say, in my view. So I think they'd rather take it on a case-to-case basis, or rather on a month-to-month basis, when it's necessary, then they do so.
We're chairing Sunny Hamid. He is the Director of Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Sunny, talking about Donald Trump, he had some strong opinions on the Fed's latest move on his Twitter account. So he says the Fed failed again. No guts, no sense, no vision. And another insult, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve failed again. And he says Powell is a terrible communicator. Sunny, do you think he has a point? Because if you remember, in the last meeting in July, Jerome Powell had a bit of a disaster in the press conference. How did he do this time?
think President Trump is just making the Fed's job extremely hard, not only from the fact that he verbally wants them to cut rates, which again, the Fed now doesn't want to be seen as losing its independence, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, playing into this rate cut called by Washington thing is also not something which I think the world wants to see. So all in all, it's mind you, Donald Trump is not making things easy from his Twitter kind of comments, which changes fiscal policy, changes trade policy every time he tweets something. And it's really messed up the whole kind of signaling from the markets, because the markets tend to react to these Twitters, which are noise, so to say. So, I don't blame the Fed. They're not in an easy position given the circumstances, and Donald Trump has just made it even more difficult a job for them, in my view.
Sunny, just to get your help to dive in a bit deeper into the impact that investors might feel from the latest rate cut and outlook from the Fed, with these projected rate cuts down the road, potentially, how will this trickle into the various asset classes and especially Singapore markets? When you look at the banks, they might have lower margins, and the REITs might get lower rates as well. So what are you bullish on at the moment?
It seems that, people are now clamoring for yield. So you see some strong underpinning in the REITs markets. The banks, of course, are worried about the negative spreads and narrowing spreads between lending and borrowing. But all in all, if you look at it, I think people are still extremely cautious. FedEx just made an announcement on their earnings, and the guidance was that they think things are going to get worse going forward. So if you look at all this, and the fact of the matter is the U.S. economy is in its longest growth streak. It's over 10 years. It's now about time, somewhere along the next 12 months, so to say, that it's going to peak. So everybody's worried about all these things. So I think, by and large, people are still parked in what we call the defensive sectors, or would rather hold the defensive sectors, would rather hold stocks and even bonds that are of better quality. Because again, when you go into a recession, you'll find that the less quality stocks and bonds, especially those which are highly leveraged, those are the ones that tend to get hit. So there's a lot of this kind of positioning now going on in the market.
We've been chatting with Sunny Hamid. He's the Director of Wealth Management at Financial Alliance. Sunny, we'll have to keep it there for today, but thank you so much for your time this morning, and have a great time at the F1.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.